Well, from Iraq to Turkey now, where the results are in from the country's first direct presidential election. And the winner is Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the man who has dominated Turkish politics for more than a decade as a three-term prime minister. In his victory speech last night, he struck a conciliatory tone toward critics who believe he's an autocrat who is harming the country's secular traditions.
Today is the day we initiate a social reconciliation process. Please leave aside the old discussions, all disputes, all tensions in the old Turkey.
Elmira Beyrasli is co-founder of Foreign Policy Interrupted. She's with us from New York to talk about the election in Turkey. Elmira, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
So when we say this was the first direct election of a Turkish president, what exactly does that mean, especially because this is a man who's been prime minister there for more than a decade?
That's right. Recep Tayyip Erdogan was first elected and his party was elected in 2002. He became prime minister in 2003 and since then has run Turkey uninterrupted. Turkey's changed over the past decade plus that he has been in power. It's grown economically. It's become a much more strategic ally for the United States. And his election yesterday really represents a culmination of where he wants to bring Turkey to be a stronger regional player within the Middle East and a global player.
And he won with 52% of the vote.
The 52% is actually quite significant in Turkey. One of the problems in Turkey has been that no one leader has been able to claim such a large majority. And this has been the largest percentage that Erdogan has won in the decade plus that he has ruled.
So what about the people who are not in that 52% who are not happy that he has been elected? What are their gripes with Erdogan?
A lot of the complaints over the past year that we've seen against Prime Minister Erdogan, and we've seen it on television and on the radio where people have come out and there have been these anti-government protests. A lot of people have accused Erdogan over the decade of increasingly taking Turkey away from the secularist bent that it has always been anchored in and bringing a lot more Islam into Turkish daily life and into Turkish politics. But I think the bigger question in Turkey has been over the year is Erdogan's increasing authoritarian tendencies. He has complete control over the media. He has increasingly put a stronger hand over the judiciary. Last year, he dismissed a number of judges and appointed judges that are pro-Erdogan and his Justice and Development Party. He has cracked down on the police force, which he believes is part of something called a parallel state. A lot of people are very concerned about the democratic standing of Turkey.
And the issue of economic opportunity in Turkey. We saw those Gezi Park protests that started because he wanted to, put a building in a park.
One of the reasons that Erdogan has run uninterrupted in Turkey for the past decade plus is because of his sound management of Turkey's economy. Part of that has been a lot of real estate development, which is what sparked the Gezi Park protests. A number of environmentalists had staged a sit-in so that they wouldn't raise the park. And what the prime minister wanted to do was put up a shopping mall there.
Right.
And that has been of concern. And the direction of Turkey's economy is actually concerning, not only because now that the U.S. Fed has tapered back bond buying, there's not a lot of credit going on. And in Turkey, there's actually not a lot of manufacturing going on. So I think that coming up in terms of the Turkish economy, there is going to be a lot of problems ahead.
And it's a country, by the way, of 77 million people. It's also a country that is right in the middle of several hotspots. It borders Iraq, it borders Syria, and it is just south of the Black Sea from Ukraine.
That's right. Turkey has been a very strategic country for a number of nations, particularly the United States. Turkey is a NATO ally, and it has played a key role in that region, as you mentioned, with Iraq, with Syria, and with Iran, and just below Ukraine and Russia. In terms of what has happened with Syria over the past year and a half, Turkey has played a pivotal role with especially opening up the border to the anti-Assad fighters, which have grown into what is called now the Islamic State that has grown and is causing a problem within Syria and Iraq today.
How much of a U.S. ally is Erdogan?
In 2011, during the Arab Spring, Washington really turned to Erdogan as not only a model prime minister, but to Turkey as a model nation for the Arab states. They thought here was a country and a leader that had that combined religion, Islam, and democratic politics, and that could be a model for the number of Arab states that were going through a lot of turmoil. Since then, there has been a cooling of relations between Washington and Ankara. Erdogan has himself said that he does not talk to Obama as regularly as he used to. That is largely a result of Erdogan's anti-Western rhetoric. He has really stepped up a lot of anti-Semitic talk against Israel, but also a lot of talk against the West and the Western alliance, really blaming the West for what is going on in Gaza and for what is going on in the Middle East.
And in fact, we just learned today that some Palestinians wounded in Gaza have been brought to Turkey for medical care. So a country that really finds itself in the middle of a lot of major global stories right now. We'll keep watching it. Elmira Bayrosli, co-founder of Foreign Policy Interrupted, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Jeremy.